and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, I have discussed repentance response. I have discussed, praise God, the request for restoration. I have given you some reasons for the request. But that's one thing that I haven't shared with you, and I'm going to use this as I close. Praise God. We see in our text, praise God, the results, amen, of restoration. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
There are some results of your restoration. Amen. See, if we everybody look at somebody and say that covers all of us. Amen. You see, if you look at verse 13 says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baptist Highway, Second Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Alexandria.
When we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in.
That's what
as evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the word
in a manger.
Manger boy,
on a tree.
The church has fallen asleep. This generation of Christians, they have not so much as tried to do the works of God. They seem to be relaxed and laxed and comfortable in their falsified Christianity. If the church leaders, the ministers, are not in and teaching the church, the false gospel. Before I go further, I'm not naive as to believe that there's no one, no Christians, out of these billions of Christians, none of them have measured up what God has set out for his church to do through Jesus Christ. How he would have the church to be, but 98% of them, these believers, they're severely lacking in kingdom protocol, order, and the code of behavior that's becoming a Christian. We know that this is true because we hear and we see. The Bible says you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So using one of these subtle strategies, Satan causes the Christians to fall asleep, the sleep of death, in a dangerous position. The church is in a dangerous position when they're in a position of spiritual sleep. They're in a very dangerous position. And they are unable. This is what it causes. It causes the church to be unable to hear the voice of the Lord when he's talking to them. You know, this further hinders the ministry, the works of the ministry of the church. These pastors and teachers and preachers, you know, they're unaware of Satan's maneuvers and his movements against him. And they're totally oblivious to what's going on. What Satan is doing against them. They see devastations and destructions all around them, but they lack just like the world, they don't see that it's caused by Satan. You know? And this is the thing that the church needs to wake up. Wake up from this lying position that they're in. This spiritual sleep position. They're going to have to wake up, saints. We're going to have to wake up. They forget that Satan comes to steal, kill, destroy, and he don't care what way he do it. He's just coming to do that because that's what he does. Satan can send legions of demons and devils after you. Church, you need to understand this. Just like he did with that demoniac, that man had legions, over 6,000 demons and devils that was in him. And this is what Satan can do to us. He can attack your mind, your thinking, with this smooth, cunning, clever lies that he tells. It's just like he told Eve, you know, you won't surely die. Surely God won't kill you. Yeah, he won't kill her. He didn't kill them in a natural sense, but he killed them in a spiritual sense. And that's what we have to understand. We're not living in the natural. When you're Christians, we're not living in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm. He can provoke you to speak unholy words in your conversation. You know, we talk a lot, and we say a lot of things, and we should bridle our tongue. We should close our mouth. When we know that we are to be kept by the power of God, we need to keep our conversations holy. But if we are in a spiritual sleep, you know, the enemy can come in and he can afflict us. He can hinder, he can stop, he can block. Saints of God, we're wide open and we're very vulnerable to what Satan can do. And we're more vulnerable than Eve was. What she wasn't supposed to do. Sometimes I think the church don't even know the things that they are allowed to do and things that they are not allowed to do. Why? Because many of them won't read the Bible. They won't study the Bible. They won't get on their knees and pray. Prayer can answer a lot of things for Christians if you would only get on your knees and pray. So we're more vulnerable than Eve was. You know, we have to remember that Satan is a manipulator. He can handle you skillfully. He can control you. He can influence you in evil ways. When you're in this position, this spiritual sleep, all kinds of things Satan can come against you with when you're sleeping. So when you sleep, you're not cognizant of what you're doing or where you are when you're in a sleep position. You know, many Christians today, they're being manipulated and controlled by Satan's devious tricks and devices. How? You ask this question, how? Well, he can do it through sickness, disease, mind-altering condition, loss of jobs, financial insecurity, family breakups, marriages on the rocks, and worse things. Let us not forget what John 10 and 10 says, that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to destroy dreams. He comes to destroy our souls, our lives, our interests, our mindsets, our hopes, our goals, our loves, and etc. On and on and on. You can name things that he comes to destroy. If God has given them to us, Satan comes to take them down. He come to destroy them out of us in the name of Jesus. So, oh, hallelujah. So we have to be very mindful in this age as to who Satan is and what he come to do. Whatever we have, Satan come to steal it. If he can't steal it, he come to kill it. If he can't kill it, he come to destroy it in any way he can. Just so you can't use it. And just so you can't be active in the things that God has called us to do. That's his whole purpose. You know, many Christians' lives, they're in peril, just like the world today. They just think, well, this is just supposed to be happening. This is just what time it is. But it's not that. It's not all because they fail to take Satan serious. That's what it's all about. They fail to take Satan serious. And what's more important, they fail to take God serious and the works of God. And the works of the kingdom of God. They fail to keep to make that serious in their mindset and what they do every day. You know? They don't even acknowledge demons and devils, you know? They don't even acknowledge that these forces exist. You know? And when you see it in the Bible, they still don't acknowledge it. So this is where the church is going wrong. This is one major point in this era, in this time and age, where the church is going wrong and they need to straighten up. They need to pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. God said that His people perish for the lack of knowledge. And that's in Hosea 4 and 6. You know, Christians have a false sense of, I'm not saying all of them, but most Christians have a false sense of security concerning their own spirituality and their own spiritual condition. You know, they phase out what they want, and what they want, they keep it. They phase out what they don't want, and what they want, they keep it. What they don't understand and what they don't like, they just phase that out. You know, they attend church. Most Christians do. They attend church services regularly, you know. They pay their tithes. That's a great thing. They pay their tithes, and many of them, they work in the church in some capacity, but they're unaware of what's happening in the spirit realm. And this is what's so important now. The spirit realm is important. We know that our earthly home is right here, but our heavenly home is up there in heaven. And we're pilgrims just passing through this earth, because heaven will be our home. And that's the realm that we have to pay attention to, and that's the one we have to live in, and that's the one we have to talk to God in. They don't know God. They don't know Satan. My God, glory to God. They don't know Satan, you know? And they're asleep spiritually because they don't know who they are and whose they are. We need to wake up. So we're going to take our text from Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. That's what we're going to read. And this whole Revelation 3 is this angel is talking to John. Because John is going to have to write it in a book. That's Revelation. He's going to have to write the book of Revelations, and so that we'll have it. Right, of course, Revelation reading that book that John wrote. And this is what verse 1 says. It says, "Unto the angels of the church in Sardis, write these things, say he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name or a reputation that you live in and are dead." He said, "I know you have a name and a reputation that you live in, but it's dead." Verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." My God, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a stern warning from God. He said, you got to be watchful. Didn't he say we need to watch and pray? Saints, we're not watching. We're watching too much TV. We're watching too much of the world's activities. We're watching too much of the things that we should not be watching. The things of the world is not what we're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be watching for the things that God said and prophesied through his prophets that's going to come, that's going to happen. Look around in Israel. Look.